now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
I've got a brand new album to bring to you out of Holland this week. The Metropole Orchestra put together a marvelous album of Esquivel tracks called Perfect Vision, the Esquivel Sound. And joining us to talk about the album and Esquivel is Erwin Chuser, the man who brought us Esquivel the first time on CD in the 1990s. There's a James Bond car for auction that maybe if you've got a bit of spare cash, you might be able to grab. An interesting article on where are they now as far as big Hollywood glamour stars concerned. Where are they now? We'll find out shortly. And our look at the world of Swank with lots of gigs from across the globe. Kicking off now with Clouseau and Search for a Vulcan on the Cocktail Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation, thanks to Ultraswank.net.
Thank you.
Coop Cooper on the Cocktail Nation with Martini Heaven and Tanganova. This week on the show, I'm joined by a man who knows a lot about Esquivel. He was the guy who brought us Esquivel on CD in the 1990s, and recently he did liner notes on the new release by the Metropole Orchestra with the album Perfect Vision, the Esquivel Sound. It's a fascinating album, and when you compare a track like Miniskirt, for example, it's interesting to see the difference in technology with a real technical clarity that isn't on the original recordings. Ewan joins me from his home studio to talk about the release. Let's start off by talking about those technical differences, Ewan.
Oh, well, first of all, the arrangements are slightly different. And in fact, you mentioned Miniskirt. Well, Esquivel's version of Miniskirt was done with his small ensemble. He never did that with an orchestra. That was done on the album The Genius of Esquivel, which was, a seven-piece with three or four vocalists? The Metropole was doing it with a full orchestra and vocalists. So the Metropole version accomplished something that Esquivel never did, which was perform Miniskirt with a full orchestra. But throughout the rest of the album, it has many things that Esquivel didn't have. You mentioned the technical clarity. Well, this is 50 years later. Recording technology has evolved. It's also gone through a lot of different stages where certain things that were considered advances, let's say 50, 40, 30, 20 years ago, were eventually superseded by something else. And in something else, that what superseded it was a sense of restraint. Which is to say, once you invent something, there's a tendency to take some new technology and to overdo it. Like when reverb was discovered and echo and slapback were discovered. And after a while you realize, well, the novelty's worn off. Now how can we actually use what's really good about this without really hitting people over the head with it? Let's find the subtlety in it and use it with restraint, because there's other things that'll come along that we can get excited about and overdo. So we've gone through this, it's a cycle. It's generations of audio technology where something new comes along. It gets overused. Not just that it gets overused in a studio sense, other artists begin using it. You know, when Ringo started doing that cymbal sizzle with the early Beatles, suddenly every band coming out was doing the cymbal sizzle. Well, after a while, it became kind of tiring, and certain people began to realize if you're doing that cymbal sizzle, where he's not just riding the cymbal, he's making the cymbal sound like shh, almost like white noise. It's taking up a huge chunk of the sonic spectrum to the point where you can't hear other things. So someone at some point said, you know what, let's tone down that cymbal sizzle a bit. And oh my, now you can hear certain textures in the organ or the guitar or the voice that were kind of getting white noised out before. Same thing with stereo, with echo, with reverb, with digital technology, these things with rhythm boxes, you know, these things get overused to the point where the marketplace becomes sick of them. It doesn't mean they're not valuable. It doesn't mean there isn't a continued use for it. But at some point, someone's got to be the adult in the room and say, you know what, we're overdoing it. Everyone's overdoing it. Let's cut back. And then bring it back later in a subtle sort of way and just use it a little bit and not overuse it.
Now, I want to talk about the label Basta to put it all together and how this album came about.
I've been working with Basta now for 18 years. I was working with Basta before they started. There was another label before that it evolved out of. So Basta has been a wonderful partner for the Raymond Scott releases and other packages that I've been involved in. And at some point, I wasn't even aware that Esquivel was on their radar very much, nor did I ever suggest it to them, because what are they going to do? I mean, the Esquivel recordings have been issued, so it's not like they can do another Esquivel package. There just isn't much more in the vaults that I'm aware of. And the last thing I would ever do is suggest, you know, you ought to put together an orchestra and do a bunch of Esquivel recordings, because the arrangements didn't exist except on the recordings. The charts don't exist. They're gone. Gert-Jan Blom, who works with Basta as a producer and also is a music director of the Metropole Orchestra, at some point he told me that they were going to do transcriptions of Esquivel arrangements and then modify them a bit and do a concert with the Metropole Orchestra. And that was it. They were going to do a concert. Well, the concert got canceled, and it wasn't going to be rescheduled. But they'd already put together these arrangements and rehearsed them. They said, well, we've got this orchestra that's rehearsed all these great Esquivel arrangements. What are we going to do? Let's record them. And Basta will put them out. So that's how the album came about. It really was almost an accident that the album came together, because it was originally only intended to be a concert, and a one-off concert at that.
When we return, we tackle the elephant in the room and ask about the difference between Mr. Ho's Orchestronica versus the Metropole release. Let's enjoy the Metropole Orchestra now with La Paloma on the Cocktail Nation. Donation, Coop Cooper, the Metropole Orchestra, La Paloma. Now, back in 2010, Mr. Ho's Orchestronica released The Unforgettable Sounds of Esquivel. Erwin Chusid is joining me to talk about the Metropole Orchestra release. And I've got to ask you about this album versus the Metropole release.
Well, you know, they're complementary in many ways. First of all, Brian O'Neill is Mr. Ho. He is an amazing musician. He's a great stage presence. He's put together an incredible band of incredible musicians. He's worked very hard. He's a fine arranger. He's got a sense of humor, and he loves Esquivel. And he loves the whole exotica, space age pop genre, deep scholar of this music. So he's the right man to do what he's doing. Now, what he's doing is two things. He is recording it. He's done an album of Esquivel music, and he's done an album of exotica. But the other thing he does is he has a band that actually performs on stage. Well, this is a huge difference, because the Metropole is not performing Esquivel music anywhere. They've recorded it in the studio. They're done with it. That's it. The album exists. It's a monument. It's magnificent. It's spectacular. But if anyone ever says, gee, I'm hearing this Esquivel music, gee, it'd be great to see it performed, hear it performed. Well, there's only one band that's going to do it. If other bands out there hear Esquivel on the Metropole album, if they hear it on Brian's album, if they hear the original Esquivel recordings, what are they going to do? Well, put an orchestra together? First of all, they've got to transcribe all the charts. Well, Brian's been there and done that. So's the Metropole. Brian's actually rehearsed the band. He's got these musicians. Brian has accomplished something. He's accomplished the impossible. And I don't think he's recreating what Esquivel did. He is building on what Esquivel created. And the Metropole did the same thing. the Metropole used the string section. Well, Esquivel only used the string section on one album, Strings of Flame, and it wasn't a very strong album. Esquivel was mostly piano, percussion, wordless vocals, keyboards, a whistler, and some exotic instrumentation, and brass, of course, lots of brass, but he didn't use strings. Well, Metropole realized there's no point in completely replicating what Esquivel did, because Esquivel did it, and he did it Esquivel's way. What's the point? So they had to make it something different, while still being an homage to the maestro, which is what they did. Adding strings, the vocals are slightly different. I mean, you can't play Esquivel's parts exactly. Some of the solos are different. There are enough differences that it's an addition to the Esquivel catalog, not a duplication.
The Metropole Orchestra, Perfect Vision, the Esquivel Sound Album, is available right now. You can grab it via bastamusic.com and on iTunes. And here's another, My Blue Heaven, on The Cocktail Nation with lounge leader Coop Cooper.
Cooper, the unofficial sexiest man of the year.
This is Andy Nazell of Tiki Joe's Ocean, and you are listening to the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper, Spyfire, and the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Speaking of spies, one of the most famous spies, James Bond, his car, the Submarine Lotus Esprit, is going to be auctioned for the first time in September. The auction car is the only fully functioning version of the White Lotus Esprit that was used for the underwater sequences in the 1977 007 film The Spy Who Loved Me, starring Roger Moore. Now, RM Auction says the submersible Lotus is the only one of six body shells that was capable of being fully operational underwater. It was steered by a former US Navy SEAL using levers and motorized propellers. The car is said to have cost the equivalent of $500,000 at the time of the build, which is a huge amount of money for 1977. In the movie, Bond's Lotus Esprit is pursued by an enemy helicopter on the winding roads of Corsica before accelerating off a ramp and into the sea. It's one of the most memorable Bond scenes, and the Esprit transforms, of course, into a mini sub, allowing him to escape. It'll be interesting to see how much this car goes for. To give you an example of how much these generally fetch, Bond's most famous car, the Aston Martin DB5, driven by Sean Connery in Goldfinger and Thunderball, was sold in 2010 for £2.9 million. So I'll be curious to see how much this one gets. I have a feeling it's going to be an awful lot. Here's Sally Street now, and You Blow Top Blues on the Cocktail Nation.
I got very bad news, baby. You're the first to know. Bad news, baby. You're the first to know. I discovered this morning that my blonde wig is about to blow. I've been rocking on my feet, and I've been talking all out of my head. Yeah, I've been rocking on my feet, and I've been talking all out of my pretty head. You know, when I get through talking, I can't remember a damn thing I said. Do you remember when I used to be a Sharpie, all dressed in the latest styles? But now I'm walking down Broadway wearing nothing but a smile. I see all kinds of little men, although they're never there. I try to push a subway train and poured whiskey in my hair. I'm a gal who blew a fuse, 'cause I've got those blow top blues. Last night I was 5 feet tall, today I'm 8 feet 10. Every time I fall downstairs, I float right up again. When someone turned the lights on me, it like to drove me blind. I woke up this morning in Bellevue, but I left my mind behind. I'm a gal you can't excuse, 'cause I've got those blowed up blues. Took my man to his wife's front door. Can you believe I did that? Yeah, I got juiced last night, and I took my man to his wife's front door. Oh, but she was a 45-packing mama, and I ain't gonna try that no more.
Coop Cooper. So cool, his drinks don't need ice.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead. I know what it is to be sad. And she's making me feel like I've never been born. I said, who put all those things in your head? Things that make me feel that I'm mad. And you're making me feel like I've never been born. She said, you don't understand what I said. I said, no, 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 you're wrong, but I was a boy. Everything was right. Everything was right. I said, even though you know what you know, I know that I'm ready to leave. 'Cause you're making me feel like I've never been born. She said, you don't understand what I said. I said, no, 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 you're wrong. When I was a boy, everything was right. Everything was right. I said, even though you know what you know, I know that I'm ready to leave. And you're making me feel like I've never been born.
With Nutty from their very first album, Nutty and She Said, She Said. You know, sometimes in conversations at dinner parties, the conversation might head towards a where are they now, what are they doing, are they still alive type questioning at a dinner table. And I found a very interesting story on ultraswank.net about where they are. And you'd be amazed as to who's still around and what they're doing. For example, James Garner, still working, starred in The Notebook and, of course, doing some voice work for animated films. You might have noticed him pop up from time to time. Jerry Lewis, of course, we know, still very involved in charity work these days, working for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. He's been doing that since the 1950s. Also in this article, Mickey Rooney, Kirk Douglas, Doris Day, Lauren Bacall, Olivia de Havilland, and Maureen O'Hara. So a very interesting story here that you might like to check out via ultraswank.net. Question is, where are they now? Hollywood legends. Time for a look at the world of swank now, thanks to TikiDelights.com. The International Tiki Marketplace coming up on July 20th. This is at the Don the Beachcomber. If you'd like some more details about this, in Huntington Beach, donthebeachcomber.com. Here in Sydney, Black Cherry, bands Burlesque and DJ blackcherrypresents.com.au, Saturday, July 20. Friday, July 13, TikiCon. This is coming up, TikiCon.com, if you'd like some more details about this particular event, which is going to be over at Vancouver, the Red Lion at the Quay. Each and every Tuesday, it's the Tiki $2 Tuesday. Some great drink specials, live hula girls and DJs at the Tiki Bar, 49 Essex Street, the corner of Grand Street, New York. Saturday, July 14th, the book release party of Wild Things, Burlesque Beauties and the Pets That They Love, wildthingsbook.com. Mod Palm Springs coming up October 11 in Palm Springs. Now, this is going to be very special. Marty Lush and his Latin Livers are going to be playing there on the Friday night, which I believe is going to be absolutely huge. A band that doesn't perform very often, but well worth checking out. Sunday, September the 22nd, the annual Tiki Day at Disneyland. Otto's Grotto, another regular first Wednesday of the month, Forbidden Island, Alameda. And another regular, Tiki Cowboys, play every third Thursday throwdown, Tiki Terrace in Illinois. Tiki Oasis Hula Billy coming up for August 15, tikioasis.com. And Jimmy Borges, the man we spoke to last week on the show, Why Tiki 7, he's going to be teaming up with them. And this is coming up on Sunday, October the 20th at the Hilton Hawaiian Village at the Coral Ballroom. And here's a special one for you. If you're in the Long Island area, which we broadcast to, the first time in Long Island, August 2, Louis Prima Jr. and The Witnesses, featuring Sarah Spiegel at the Madison Steakhouse. This is going to be a huge gig. August the 2nd at 7:30 and at 10 p.m. Limited seats available for this one. For these gigs and many, many more, simply head over to my website, www.cocktailnation.net. You can also get in contact with us if you'd like to submit a gig. We would love to hear from you. Let's get back into the music now. Octobop and Short Stop on the Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
The man voted by his high school classmates as most likely to become Lounge Lothario DJ.
Just the color of the sea.
Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with Lounge Leader Coop Cooper, Jackie Gleason, and Mystery Street. Next week on the show, no mystery, we are talking to lounging bachelor pad expert. My neighbour, Kramer, is stopping by as we talk about the film Playtime by Jacques Tati. Stay here.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night, up to the moment when we said our first hello. Just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away.